Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good day. Good morning. It is December 17th. That means this is the last weekend to really go out and shop. Not for the last minute shoppers. No, you've got next weekend. Next, the 24th is always the fun day at the malls. It's a gorgeous day today to get out to play or do some holiday shopping at your favorite pro shop. Remember, you know, your pro shop is a small business. You want to give your small businesses as much as they can get from you because it keeps the money at home. All right, so Poipu Bay would be a great place to go if you're on Kauai. Gift cards, and they still have 50% off on selected men's and women's apparel. Today, we're going to look at, a whole bunch of interesting stuff. You know, I was amazed at some of the news breaking in golf in the month of December, including a story out of Chicago. Chicago Tribune is breaking this story. Mark Rolfing has something to do with it, of course, and Barack Obama has made his, at least that's the story we're hearing, about Tiger Woods being the lead designer and possibly the BMW championship being played there. Well, we're going to find out more about that when we talk to Golf Week senior writer Jeff Babineau. And what was your number one story in 2016 in the world of golf? First, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for 10 years. It's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. By Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 Coach, and Aim Point Certified Golf Channel Lead Coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors. And Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing. Because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing.
Yeah, you got to keep the water in the pipes. All right. Also, stocking stuffers. Great stocking stuffers would be, for instance, something that you could find at the Alawai Pro Shop, which is now open. And head professional Regan Lee's going to be on the show in a little bit. Or you could get tickets. Sony Open in Hawaii, first full field event of the PGA Tour in the new year, that is, at the Wailea Country Club. It's January 9th to the 15th. You can get those tickets at SonyOpenInHawaii.com or Tournament of Champions on the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Winners only event. It's January 4th through the 8th, of course, on the Plantation Course where the champions come to play, and tickets at PGATour.com/tournaments. Okay, let's get right to it. Jeff Babineau, senior writer, Golf Week. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. How are you today?
Excellent. How cold is it?
Well, it's a frigid 86 here in Orlando today, so probably 84 with the wind chill.
So you're not with the millions freezing up further north?
No, fortunately not. No, my wife's complaining that it's a little too hot, and I think we should probably temper that a little bit.
Yeah, okay, you just go up a couple of states. I hear it gets chillier the higher you go. Jeff Babineau has attended nearly 80 majors, including each of Tiger Woods' 14 major victories, 9 Ryder Cups. He's a multiple winner of the GWAA Writing Awards, including Best Column in 2003, and a former golf writer. But, you know, more importantly, when he was 17, he won the club championship at Dennis Pines. That probably, you know, more importantly, that gives you the background. You know what it's like being on the course in competition, maybe not at the highest level, but it all comes together when you're out there on the course. You can kind of get a feel for it. You know, in my intro, I said I wanted to talk a little bit about this story that's breaking in Chicago, the deal that's a $30 million, putting two courses together on the South Shore into one fabulous course, potentially hosting a major in 2021, but also a place where caddies will be and junior golf will flourish. What do you think of this story that's developing in Chicago?
I think it's an exciting project. You know, we don't have a lot of new golf projects going on in the U.S., certainly not in the last decade or so. And it's amazing up there in frigid Chicago that such a project would have a huge Hawaii connection, right, with Barack Obama. And I know Mark Rolfing has a big involvement there. So it's exciting. It's always exciting when you're going to build a project like this in an inner city. It sounds like there's going to be a par three layout there. It's not some private enclave that's being built for the one percenters. It sounds like something that a lot of people would get some great value out of, and a project that could help grow our game. We're looking to do that.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, just the idea, it's a nonprofit promoting caddy programs. Right there, I went, yes, because that's how kids can get into the game, make a little money, learn the game, not being with the club in hand. But you learn so much from just following along and working with another golfer. You start to see things and learn things, and you feel comfortable inside the ropes. And that's half the battle won, don't you think, as a winner yourself?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, the connections kids can make caddying, it is kind of a lost art. I grew up caddying just with my dad's groups at a public place and for his buddies for a few bucks around. And just the connections I made and the people you meet, and it's way bigger than, carrying a bag for 18 holes of golf. It just, I think, as you say, it's a great educational experience, and you learn the game the right way, and it's really a lost art. There are very few caddy programs anymore where kids can learn the game that way, and it's pretty unfortunate.
Now, you mentioned Mark Rolfing. Mark Rolfing, after surviving cancer, a very serious form of cancer, a very advanced form of that serious cancer, he told me on the air that he wasn't going to mince words anymore. If he had something to say, he was going to say it, and he was going to move on, and he was going to make things come true that he wanted. So there were some projects that he had been dabbling with, and this one really took hold. And then in the Chicago Tribune, which is the paper that's breaking it, and a particular writer involved, it was like there's talk of Barack Obama calling Tiger Woods to get him to nudge him into doing this, and the Chicago mayor, Rahm Emanuel, being involved in it. And of course, Mark Rolfing seeing this vision of taking two golf courses that are kind of in their fading glory, so to speak. Those two courses, Jackson Park and South Shore, they would become one that would potentially host a PGA Tour event. That's in 2021. That's just around the corner, isn't it? I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. Yeah, it's big. I mean, it's nice when you, not only can undertake projects like this to spruce up a course, but, I mean, totally overhaul a place to where it would have a quality course enough to host a PGA Tour event or possibly a major. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We've seen that at Harding Park in San Francisco. That's going to have a major, and that had a WGC event, and it's really good. It's a great thing for our game. I guess Jackson Park's going to be near where there's going to be a huge Barack Obama Presidential Center. So there's a historical tie-in there. And it just sounds like a great, you take a property that might be a little tired. I don't know a whole lot about Chicago golf outside of, I know there's a lot of great venues there. And you're going to take a project and build it into something really special. And, kudos to Tiger Woods for being involved in this. If he's going to be the guy, and for Mark, and I guess we're going to learn a lot more in the next 2 days.
Yeah, it's supposed to come out with a little bit more detail about the Golf Alliance that they're putting together. It's supposed to be released tomorrow sometime. It'll be called the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance, in charge of improving Chicago Park District courses and raising money for this $30 million project, among other things. That's just what I've been reading from the Chicago Tribune. So Jeff Babineau, senior writer, Golf Week. We met... Did you come to Hawaii? Are you coming to Hawaii?
I have. It's my favorite trip of the year. That in Augusta. And I haven't gone the last couple of years, but I'm heading there this year. I'm excited about that. I always love to recharge my batteries there at Kapalua.
Oh, you're coming.
Great place.
Excellent. You're going to be at the Tournament of Champions. Fantastic. Will you manage to get to Oahu?
I might not get to Oahu, which is unfortunate. I have a nephew there in the Navy, but... I usually stop by a few days at Sony. It used to be where we would always see a lot of the rookies for the first time. Well, that's changed a little with the wraparound season. And I got to kind of scurry back home because I got to turn around and go to Phoenix for a trip. So I won't get to Oahu, but I really look forward to Kapalua. And I love the way there seems like there's a new energy there. The young guys are really embracing getting the year started there. And it's a terrific event.
Absolutely. Now, we don't have, just so y'all know, we don't have any tournaments. LET, LPGA, PGA Tour, European Tour, you know, none of them have events almost into the new year. Of course, then Kapalua, Tournament of Champions kicks up, and then we have things get rolling with the Sony Open in Hawaii. And you mentioned the rookies. Golf Week magazine has been really at the forefront of promoting college golf, and Golf Channel has gotten on board with making it possible to watch college golf. Do you take a certain pride in how college golf has, through your efforts and now television, has been elevated in stature?
Well, we do take a pride in that. You know, we had, and I'm sure you met him, and I'm covering some college events in Hawaii, was Ron Bilicki. Was the late Ron Bilicki was our senior writer. He covered college golf. He basically invented the beat from the early 80s and had it to himself for a lot of years. And he got to know these kids when they were kids. It's such a great age to get to know all these guys. You know, he's playing golf with Charles Howell and Tiger Woods and Matt Kuchar and all these guys when they're coming up, meeting their families. He'd get invited to weddings. And it was always a great gateway for us. We'd meet these guys out on the PGA Tour, and when we came up and introduced ourselves from Golf Week, they knew us. So it was a great entry point. It's kind of cool to watch these guys do great things in college and then go on to big things as professionals and watch them take off. But, we do take pride in that. I mean, we've written about a lot of these guys when they were 16, 17 years old and just signing with colleges. So it's kind of fun to watch them through and see how they develop as professionals.
And how they blossom, exactly. And also women's golf.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you've been totally behind. And then I just saw an article come out, and, you know, we get all these silly season, it's kind of interesting stories. The most approachable players per Golf Week magazine. Did you see that?
I did. I helped put that together with Beth Van Baldry and another staffer at our place, Kevin Casey, and It's kind of a good thing that it's a hard list to put together because you leave off a lot of great people. Well, but we tried to kind of put the best of the best, and those are our approachable players.
Yeah. Ernie Els. I mean, Ernie has to be on the list.
He's on the list. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jason Day. And I want to do an aside here. Did you catch how he did? He was at a charity event the first time he teed it up since his back and withdrawing. Have we heard how his back held up during the play that he just had?
Yeah, I think he held up fine. It was kind of an early test for him. I didn't go. You know, last year I actually took a drive over there because Jordan Spieth played in the same, the little old Florida Pro-Am, the Grapefruit Pro-Am. It's been around 70 years now. But Jake Owen, the country music singer, plays. And so last year he had Jordan Spieth as his buddy, which was kind of cool, the number one guy in the world. I went over there. It was like watching the Pied Piper walk through the fairways and people walking right behind them, probably 1,500 or so fans at this little place in Vero Beach, Florida. It was great. And this year, you got another number one with Jason Day, just kind of testing out his back a little bit, seeing where he is. And I think that bodes well for seeing Jason in Hawaii to start 2017 and a whole new year.
Yeah, Jason Day and Jordan Spieth. Jordan being the defending champ, right?
So no doubt.
We've got a good one coming. And then, of course, we have the Lotte in April. And I certainly hope Arya Jutanugarn, Brittany Lincecum, Ai Miyazato, Lydia Ko. Ai Miyazato has always played really good at Ko'olina. So I'm really hoping these four women on your list of most approachable get to play. Let me ask you, you know, I was talking at the beginning about what the most significant stories were. Let's go to the women's game. And what did you find to be the most impressive story in the women's game in 2016?
Well, maybe it was Arya Jutanugarn kind of emerging as the star, you know, winning her first three tournaments right in a row. So it wasn't just winning one and going back kind of in with the masses. She just really stepped out. And then, you know, she was able to beat Lydia Ko at the finale. We had an exciting final here in Naples, Florida. It was fun. You know, you had the Player of the Year race going down to the final day of the season, and that was exciting. So I think Aria's emergence, to me, would have been the biggest story in women's golf this past year.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Even with Lydia Ko becoming the youngest to win two majors, there was something about the way Aria got over those, you know, final round, whatever you want to call them, shakes, misses,
right,
mishaps, and then just won five events and did it with an aplomb and her three wood.
Like Henrik Stenson on the male side. Yeah, she's a terrific player, and I think the overall theme out there of youth is amazing. It certainly would be inspiring to young girls looking to play golf when they see a Brooke Henderson and Lexi Thompson and Arya Jutanagar and Lydia Ko. I mean, these players are barely 20, if they are 20, some of them, and they're playing such, you know, golf at a high level. So I think it's really inspiring for the women's game to see how you can get out there and make such a big impact so early on.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, girls, we mature quicker than guys, so.
always. I've learned that since high school days.
So we do have it over on you on that level. Okay, so let's go to just golf in general. We've got the Ryder Cup win for the U.S., the battle at Royal Troon, golf in the Olympics, Tiger Woods returns, Arnold Palmer dies. How would you rank those?
Well, I mean, losing Arnold Palmer, that gives me chills to even think about.
Yeah.
He was right here in our backyard at Bay Hill Golf Week. Our offices are just a few miles from Bay Hill. And just an incredible man. I mean, forget the golfer part of it. Went to his funeral this summer. And, you know, I saw him this year at Bay Hill, and you always wonder, is this going to be the last time we're really going to have Arnold at Bay Hill? Just such an impact so many years after his playing days. That's certainly a huge story for 2016. And on the tournament side, I mean, I think the U.S. winning the Ryder Cup would have to go up there high. It's just, I don't know if the overall emotion was elation or relief, really. You know, I mean, these guys, such a weight came off their shoulders. Even yes, the guys that were assistant captains, you know, Fira, Tiger, such a relief. And it was huge for these guys. And it's amazing. You know, a little tournament at the end of the year that has no prize money to it can conjure up such great patriotism and such great pride and such great golf. And so that was kind of amazing. That was kind of a highlight, I think, of my year covering tournament golf.
Yeah, you know, when I always watch the Ryder Cup and watch the European team, I emphasize, because they embodied team, not even having one country in common, maybe a few of them, but it was, they were able to coalesce and become this team that worked together regardless of, you know, somebody being off, somebody being the one being on, you know, and then to see the U.S. team finally operate as a team and not as individuals who happened to have been thrown together. And that, I thought, was the most inspiring part of watching the Ryder Cup this year for me.
Right.
You know, that
right
was.
Right. And they, you know, and I will tell you, I mean, I think they really would get offended when they would hear the description that the Europeans kind of cared more. I don't think it was for a lack of caring. I think the U.S. almost cared too much, and they just put so much pressure on themselves. And then when things started to go wrong, they just, it was like waiting for a bank safe to fall on you. And that was kind of the atmosphere. I mean, that happened in Medina when Europe totally flipped those matches in 2012. Europe had nothing to lose, and the U.S. had everything to lose, and Europe won. So I just think, yeah, as you say, they did come together as a team, and it's a different dynamic for a sport that, you know, the other 103 weeks out of 2 years, they're individuals, you know, and traveling alone and staying in their own places. And to come together like that, it was amazing, and it was a great effort. And an exciting Sunday. You know, Europe made a nice run for a while, and then the U.S. pulled away. So that was certainly a great event of the year.
Yes, it was. One battle, though, that I just sticks in my mind, and I have kept it on my DVR, is watching Stenson versus Mickelson at Royal Troon. That was sublime. That was compelling television. You had to stay. You had to watch, and I couldn't believe. Like, wow, these guys are battling it out. It wasn't amazing?
It was amazing. It's awesome when two guys separate themselves, or two girls at a women's major, they separate themselves and take on the show as their own. And those two were amazing. I mean, it was a heavyweight fight, and every time Phil would make birdie, Spencer had some kind of an answer, and he's making long putts, and Phil played unbelievable golf. You know, we caught up with Bones when he was heading to the parking lot after that round. He was just so drained, but he talked about what an amazing show that was, even to end up on the short side of it. And it was great to see Stenson at 40 win his major. This guy, really talented player. He lost it all. He had to rebuild his confidence from ground zero, and he really did it. And it culminated at Troon. It was terrific to watch, and it was great to see Phil back in the mix at a tournament that big again. It just was as you said, it's probably the show of the year.
It really was. I mean, I love the Ryder Cup, but that was amazing. And I did, we, you know, everybody heard about the duel in the sun, but it had been so many years ago that the new kids couldn't understand what we were talking about. Well, the new kids know now what a duel in the sun, so to speak, is like. No doubt, right. And then, of course, golf and the Olympics, a huge, huge event, and I see, you know, a lot of people say we see great things. Of course, it's going to be in Japan. Just, we've got about 60 seconds here. You think it'll continue on after being in Japan?
I do. I think it'll be a big success in Japan. I don't think golfers were against golf in the Olympics. I think they were kind of against golf in Rio. There were so many unknowns and health scares, and there was just too much unknown, and a lot of guys decided not to play it. It got off to a rough start, but it certainly was great. You had six different countries on the medal stand down there. I wish they could find a way to maybe get some more medals going in golf in the Olympics, and I think it does have a good future.
I do, too. In a format, maybe, you know. But I understand why they do stroke play, because the rest of the world doesn't know golf well enough to do something tweaky, you know?
Like, yeah, that's true. That's true.
We inside might want to have see something we don't see all the time. And another big story has to be Tiger Woods actually successfully playing four rounds of golf and not embarrassing himself completely. Most birdies, most bogeys, but moving along. Jeff Babineau, Golf Week senior writer. I look forward to seeing you at Kapalua for the Tournament of Champions. I hope you'll stop by. I'll be in the media center doing my show 7 to 8:30 in the morning. I know that's early.
Especially in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's early. But it's a beautiful sunrise, and it's absolutely gorgeous. You know, you can't miss it. You have to be there. Jeff, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, we'll stop by and see you for sure.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back and talk to one of our top winners. He went through college golf. He went through high school golf. And then he played the Gateway Tour. And now you can take lessons. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Kapalua is where champions come to play. The Tournament of Champions returns to the Plantation Course January 4th through the 8th. The PGA Tour invites you and your family to come and celebrate the start of 2017 with us on Maui. See your favorite players like Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Bubba Watson, and more. Tickets start at $15 for adults, and kids get in free.
Join me, Jordan Spieth, as I defend my title at Kapalua's Plantation Course. Tickets are on sale at pgatour.com/TOC.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
If you'd like to cool off, just catch a flight to the Big Island. It was 57 degrees at Volcano. There's a 9:50, a 10:30, or an 11:10 if you'd like to play. Volcano is a really cool course. The Alawai Golf Course, the busiest golf course in the country. The driving range is open now. That's the practice facility. It's like 7 acres. It's huge, and it's all grass, and it's really very nice. And there's a head professional there. His name is Reagan Lee. And you know Reagan Lee because Reagan Lee's been playing golf in Hawaii and around the country for a long time. Welcome to the show, Reagan.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. It must be cool. I was running into Reagan taking my grandson to the junior golf, the Aloha State Junior Golfers at Bayview. You've been teaching still while waiting for this renovation and this water. What they did, this complete improving the storm drain, drainage, and all of those things that was required by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. That's a mouthful. So now you're home.
Yes, I'm finally back. A lot of my lessons are very happy now.
Yeah, I bet. Reagan Lee, PGA head professional at the Alawai Golf Course Practice Facility. And he's offering private, individual, so you can get together with him and just take lessons. Or if you want to do groups, there's 4 of you or 3 of you or 2 of you who'd like to take lessons together. Take some of the pressure off, you know. You're not the only one being looked at. And Reagan Lee is expert, short game, full swing, on course, playing lessons. He's a 3-time mid-pack open champion. Back-to-back Waikoloa Open champion, set a course record 62, career low 60, and won the Gateway Tour event, and a Canadian Tour member. So not only can he teach you a little bit about the game, he can also, if you're looking to become competitive and learn how to score, that's a big one, isn't it, Reagan?
Yes. So, you know, at the Alawai, I think we have a good set of instructors who can teach for out of personal experience and, you know, technical knowledge. So I think that's where we can pride ourselves in doing that as well.
When you offer the group lessons, the private group lessons, tell me how someone would go about getting in touch with you.
Well, first of all, they can call the pro shop. Pro shop will notify us. The pro shop number is 738-4653. And then we can go ahead and, you know, see what they want to do. Is it a corporate event or, you know, they want to do like a golf and wine kind of thing, like how the executive women's did.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I look forward to doing again.
That'll be so much fun. That'll be soon. We need to do that soon.
Yeah.
Executive Women's Golf Association, we put together a clinic, and there were 25 of us, I think, and Reagan really worked on getting us all comfortable, and it was large, you know, not too large so that we couldn't see, but we could all see everything he was showing us. It was really cool. Of course, we got to socialize, hang out, have a little something to eat, and, you know, I suppose if there were like 4 of us, Executive Women Golf Association members, who'd like to take a playing lesson with you,
mm-hmm,
could
sure.
we do something like that too?
Yep, we definitely can.
What's the benefit of a playing lesson?
Well, eventually the goal is for everyone that's, you know, hitting balls in the range is to improve their score on the golf course. So when we do playing lessons, we can incorporate, you know, not just technique, but now we're going to kind of incorporate course management. And for me, with all the competitive experience that I've gone through, you know, I found ways to help, you know, where other people can not just, I guess, not just a physical thing, but it's also, you know, a bit of a mental aspect too.
Yeah.
So I think that's where a lot of people will, their eyes can be opened because they weren't aware of all these different parts of the game that can help them to become a better golfer.
Reagan Lee, PGA head professional. His number at the pro shop is 738-4653.
Yeah.
That's golf. 738-4653. And one of the things, Reagan, when I took my, I've been practicing, you've seen me, you know, on the mat,
yeah.
Right? And I took my game to the golf course grass. And it's interesting looking down. The mat is always the same. It's very, you know, expected. The distance between my, you know, swing and the bottom of my swing and the mat, it's always the same. It's predictable. That goes all away when you put it in the grass. All of a sudden, there are grades, blades of grass. There's, you know, different depths of grass that the ball is in. And then if the grass is really nice and pristine, you don't want to hurt the grass. That's one of the biggest problems.
Yeah.
Oh, please. So, you know, you've got to take your game to the course. And don't be afraid of it. You're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be as good as you were on the driving range. I heard Dustin Johnson say, with his driver, he said he can play beautiful. He can hit beautiful shots on the driving range. Beautiful. Perfect. Every time. But when he goes on the course, it doesn't work that way. Ha! Is that an enlightening moment for everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not just us, you know, like us, recreational, avid golfer, whatever you happen to be, however often you play, you know that feeling. God, I hit that iron so perfectly just a few minutes ago, warming up.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan, how important is it to warm up before you know, jump in there?
It's very important. You know, for, you know, I've gotten older, and my body can no longer just go straight from the golf car, from the car to the first tee. And I think, you know, if we start everyone from the beginning to get in the habit of stretching and warming up, it helps with their physical ailments, I guess.
Physical ailments.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, those things are called age.
Yeah.
My girlfriend called them age. It's
age.
Yes, you pronounce that other word, age, okay? So it doesn't sound as,
okay.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So that's one important thing. The other thing is, of course, you know, we don't want to say, oh, it's going to take me 9 holes to warm up. You know, so a lot of people, they'll have, you know, they don't play to their ability until the second half of the round. And so with the juniors who are very tournament, you know, that their participation in tournaments is pretty high, we have to have them in the habit of being up, stepping up to that first tee shot and, you know, continuing the rest of the round as if that, you know, that they're ready to go, not just wait till the third or fourth holes and then throw away the first 2 or 3 holes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You can lose the whole round in those first 2
correct,
or 3 holes,
correct.
And then you're playing catch up the whole time, and then your mental game is thrown.
Yep.
Right? You teach juniors?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. So the number is 738-4653. I was looking at your bio at 808golf.com. And this is so sweet, guys. This is Reagan Lee, okay? Special interest or most important moment in his life was watching his daughter being born. That is so cute. I mean, when I saw that, you know, my heart just went, oh, I got to go see Reagan.
Well, since then, I've actually got, I have two daughters now.
Oh! So,
that one now is 13.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have a six-year-old daughter as well. So yeah, still trying to get both of them to you know, take up golf and at least learn enough of it so that they can use it in whatever they decide to do.
They should know that there will come a time in their life when somebody will say, hey, we're putting together this this special charity event, and we'd love you to play. And instead of having to say something like, well, I really don't know how to play golf, or not wanting to say that and showing up because dad played through osmosis, somehow they'll know what to do. They should be comfortable. That's so important.
Yeah.
And I say, girls, get with dad, get learning, particularly, how do you, Rayan?
Rayan.
Yeah. Okay. I hope you're listening. Listen to dad, okay? It's really important. One day you'll thank us. Reagan Lee, thanks for being on the show. He's over at the Alawai Golf Course practice facility, and the number to give him a call to set up a time with him is 738-4653. And we'll be in touch about the clinic, okay?
Great. I look forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Daniel.
Aloha. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk with the senior designer of Antigua. Their spring line is out. Have you ever wondered where or who the colors come from or who chooses them? You know, the season colors. It's like, and then you think, oh, those are really cool. Yes, actually, they do fit the times. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
Yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Hold on a second. I've got to tweet this really quick. I am the golf club. At the golf club? Yeah, you can follow me at the golf club. I wanted to just tweet that we have Danielle De La Waz on. She's the Antigua wear. Delios. Sorry. Yes. I'm mispronouncing Danielle's name. At least I can do the first one. That's pretty easy. Since my name's Danielle, welcome to the show, Danielle.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And I really do want to go straight to the colors because I've always wondered, you know, I've watched all the fashion movies that come out and watched the collections being shown on the runway, and the color of the spring is going to be, it's like, what? Does this match my skin? Does this match me? But then it turns out that the color somehow works. And I was looking at your color palette, and it seems to be kind of a bold red, orange, green, blue. Do I have that right?
You do, yes. We're doing some bold primaries right now.
Yeah. What inspired that?
We start our color development about a year and a half to 2 years in advance of actually producing the collection. We look at all sorts of inspiration, whether it's runway fashion, magazines, stuff you see in the stores right now. And it's really just a matter of what's going to work for our customer. As far as taking inspiration from high-end fashion, we just have to make sure that, you know, the golf customer is going to want to wear
of course
the trendy colors.
Yeah, the trendy colors. But then again, you also, you know how to, you like blend it in with another color so it tones down the boldness, which is very cool, right? You use grays and blacks, so it seems to, it all just works together.
Yeah, and the big thing right now is actually mixing colors. So you can take a primary color with a softer, maybe a pastel shade, and put the two together. And that gives kind of a fresh take on primary color.
Wow. Danielle attended Fashion Institute of Design Merchandising in Los Angeles, a degree in merchandise product development, moved to Arizona, discovered Antigua. When did you discover Antigua, which is primarily a golf fashion house?
Yes, Antigua started as a golf company over 35 years ago in Arizona, and I'm actually from Arizona. When I moved back from L.A., I was interning for a small clothing company, and I heard that Antigua was looking for an assistant designer. So I got lucky, I applied, and they hired me, and I've been there for 12 years now.
Wow. That's great.
I know.
I mean, you've gone through the evolution because, excuse me, 15, 20 years ago, I was complaining about the sameness of women's wear in golf. I mean, you know, they just took guys' clothes and made them, shrunk them down. They didn't have any
exactly.
fit, no form, no nothing. It didn't do anything for my figure.
Exactly.
And if you want to feel good, you want to look good, right? So, and that goes for whatever you do, whatever your sport is. Look at what the Olympic volleyball players wear. They wear virtually nothing, like little tiny bikinis, right? And some people say that's such a sexist thing. No, they actually want to wear those little tiny bikinis because they're most comfortable. And that's the whole bottom line, what you're comfortable in. And I think with Antigua, what I've discovered is the fabrics. You folks really go out of your way to select some the feel of those fabrics.
Yes. A couple years ago, we started really focusing on yarn quality. The mills that we use only use high-end yarns. We kind of did some research into the difference between all the different types of yarn, whether it's filament or spun, polyester, nylon. That way we could educate ourselves on what would be the most comfortable, what would look the best, what would wash the best. All that stuff.
And washing the best. And you know, the one thing that I've noticed when I go to a golf course, you know, and you in the ladies' room and you look in the mirror and there's this swath of sunscreen that's come off on the shoulder, right? That, you know, every time you're like, I'm like, will that ever come out? Will that sunscreen wash out? I feel like I'm polluting my beautiful clothing. Now, when you started, though, there was no women's line.
That is correct.
Did you influence them?
I did. We started the very first women's collection we had was just like you said. We took our men's styles and we made them smaller. And we really didn't have a lot of success. It took a few years for me to kind of, you know, bend the CEO's ear and say, look, if we're going to do this, we need to do it right. So that's when they kind of let me take over, and we've been growing the business ever since, which is really exciting to be a part of that.
It is. And one thing, when I go through my drawer with my skorts and shorts and pants, you know, all the different things that have golf written on them, which I want to wear everywhere, by the way, you know, but yeah. Then it looks like all I do is play golf. but it's so comfortable. The fabric is comfortable. The fit is comfortable, and it's comfortable, and you just want, and it wicks, you know, all of those things that you want in everyday life, which is designed for the golf course. It's kind of like golf. Both things need to be life and golf. We say that so often, don't we? I love your spring line, and I just wanted to go over a couple of things that you've got great names and for the spring line that's out, and you can go to, it's Antigua, is it AntiguaGolf.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you can go there to see the spring line, and here, a few, I'm just reading from the press release because I was reading the collection of articles, Spring 2017 Women's Outerwear Collection is out now, and there's Boost, Curio, and Eris. Now, of course, I want to see Eris. Boost, though, let's talk about Boost.
Okay. Boost is a heather fabric, so it's kind of a tonal color mixed with black, and it's a flat face with a fleece back. So it gives the illusion of kind of a higher end piece, but then you've got the fleece warmth on the inside.
Ah, so this is the fleeced back jacquard fabric. And now, can you do anything with that fabric? Can you make it into a skort or a jacket?
You can. You know, we don't really do any heavier weight skorts. We just haven't really found a need for them.
Yeah.
But that fabric is definitely soft enough and cozy enough to really make into anything.
Wow. Okay. And the curio.
The curio, every season I try to come out with a fun piece, something that probably won't appeal to everybody, but anybody who's looking for something unique, something that you can't find anywhere else, this is that piece for them. And it has a triangle jacquard pattern on the sleeve, which is black heather and white, and then it has a colored body. So you can kind of wear that with black bottoms, white bottoms, khaki, or even a solid color.
Wow.
Very versatile. Yeah.
So there's the Boost is, you use that mostly for, tell me, what piece of clothing is that? That's the part that I'm...
Boost is a jacket.
Okay. And the Curio is a jacket as well?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. That's where I got lost here. And when I was reading this, you know, it's like, I don't know what kind of clothing it is. And so the Eris, you know, I'm looking at diamonds here.
Yeah, right.
Right, right. What did you do with the Eris?
The Eris is a vest, and it's a take on the puff vest that has been so popular the last couple of years. Women in climates like mine, where I'm in Arizona, or yours in Hawaii,
right,
where it's not freezing cold.
Yeah.
You can kind of throw that on over your polo or your long sleeve tee just for a little extra warmth.
But I love the way it's cut, or the way it's sewn. You define the waistline.
Yeah, it's a really cute fit. We did the pattern of the quilting kind of gives the illusion of a more of an hourglass figure and not so boxy like a lot of the puff vests are.
Yeah. Oh, this is exciting. You must have fun.
I do.
what season are you working on now? So we're talking about the launch of the, announcing the spring 2017 Women's Outerwear Collection Antigua. What are you working on next?
I am wrapping up summer 18.
Summer 18?
Yeah.
Wow. What's it like working in the future?
It's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's not easy.
Yeah, because it's on you to predict what we're going to want to see in 2018.
Exactly.
Wow.
I'm not always right.
Well, you know, how could you be? You know, but it must be interesting. Do you get together with other fashion designers to talk about them?
I have a few friends in the industry. just girlfriends like from school or that I've met over the years, and we'll get together and chat. It's a PGA show, which is in Orlando in January, kind of the one place where we're all in the same area at the same time.
Right, right. And do you take any inspiration from the runway stuff that we see?
Oh, definitely. That's, looking at runway is a great way to tell what trends will be going on in a couple of years. And I don't necessarily take exact silhouettes from the runway, but you can get an idea of the direction, whether it's sportswear or really feminine. There's been a lot of lace over the last couple of years, a lot of geometrics. So finding ways to kind of interpret that into something that the normal person would want to wear.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when the military fashion comes back, it's kind of easier to incorporate that into sports, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, Danielle Delawatz, I hope I pronounced your name correctly. You have a beautiful last name.
Oh, thank you.
And senior designer at Antigua. A real pleasure talking with you. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Aloha. We'll talk again.
Okay, great.
Okay. Aloha. Bye. Okay, we're going to come back now. This is an interesting development, and it's all about perseverance and not giving up, okay? You've got an idea, and it just doesn't catch, but you believe in your idea, and bam, it catches, but it could take a couple of years. And David Blois is on from Forward Golf next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Kapalua is where champions come to play. The Tournament of Champions returns to the Plantation Course January 4th through the 8th. The PGA Tour invites you and your family to come and celebrate the start of 2017 with us on Maui. See your favorite players like Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Bubba Watson, and more. Tickets start at $15 for adults, and kids get in free.
Join me, Patrick Reed, as I try to win my second title at Kapalua's Plantation Course. Tickets are on sale at pjtour.com/TOC.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
There's still time for you to consider a gift that could just keep on giving. You know, some gifts are romantic. The flowers, the evening out, the vacation going away. But all of that ends, and it's over, and it's a lovely memory. But some gifts, maybe not as romantic, they keep on giving long after received. And many of you have been living with a noisy, clunky garage door for so long you hardly notice it. In this season of giving, why not give yourself or someone you love a full service and safety check for the largest moving part in your home? Okay, it's a part of your home. It's the largest part. It needs to be serviced. It needs a full service and safety check. Rainer Hawaii can help quiet your old door. And now, just in time for Christmas, ask about their special holiday sale. A new, safer, quieter operator, Rainer Hawaii, is 676-3667. That's 676-DOOR. All right, we're going to go, and you know how important it is for you to regrip your clubs? If your clubs aren't working the way that they used to work, may have nothing to do with anything, even yourself, may have everything to do with your ability to hold on to them. You know how they get slippy? They're not tacky anymore. When you first got them, they really felt good. Well, one thing that I discovered, and I found this Forward Golf was being talked about by My Golf Spy as being, gee, Super Stroke hit the market big time, they wrote, succeeded because their grip worked. Golf Spy now says this could be the next big thing in golf. Golf grip technology, that is. So let's talk to Launch Design Works, David Blois. This is Forward Golf, and it's all about the grip. Welcome to the show, David.
Hello. Aloha, Danielle. Thanks very much for having me on your show. I really appreciate the opportunity, and congratulations on your 19th year.
Oh, thank you. Tell me, how cold is it?
That's a good question. You're in Hawaii. I'm in Toronto, and it's just about freezing. So I'm assuming it's just a little bit warmer where you are.
Just a tad. It's only maybe I don't want to rub it in. It was 70 degrees when I was driving to the studio, but there's a chill in the air because the north wind is blowing. So we all put jackets on, or in my case, I'm wearing a sweater. I feel so silly. What am I wearing, a sweater, and you're in freezing temperatures? David, you must have been thrilled when Golf Spy wrote this article about your grip.
Absolutely. Really fortunate to have Adam at My Golf Spy post that for us. Ended up sending him a sample actually a few years ago, as he mentioned, and just again very fortunate that that he liked the grip and then later wrote about it. So there's been a tremendous response.
A tremendous response, so much so that he's been running out of product. How does that feel?
Well, it's good on one hand. It's a nice position to be in. On the other hand, of course, we want to fill orders, and we've shipped to a number of countries around the world, almost 35 countries now, and so far haven't had a lost shipment. So it's certainly nice to have the demand and be out of stock. At the same time, you know, obviously we want to fill orders as best we can.
David Blois, Forward Golf, forwardgolf.com. Now, what I love, I haven't put the putter grip on my Bettinardi. I kind of like what I've got right now, and it's my putter. But I'm thinking about putting it on one of my other putters, you know, because you always have a second choice, right? Something to go to. I would first like to talk about the grip for clubs, for irons. I really like the grip material that you have put together, the feel. I mean, I think Golf Spy said it best when they said, this phrase seems to come up in more than one review, most natural feeling grip I've ever put my hands. And the other reviewer said how natural the grip feels during the stroke. It just, there's something that it's a little tacky, but it's not sticky, and it just allows your skin to just kind of wrap into it, so you become almost with the club. It's very unique. What did you do? How did you design that?
Well, thanks very much. I'm certainly glad to hear that you like the club grip and the feel, and basically it has the same construction as the putter grip. So there's what's called an underlisting, or the main body of the grip underneath that you don't see, and then wrapped around that is another layer which has that texture that you're talking about. So that's what allows that feel that you're talking about, the raised chevron texture. It means that there's less surface area with your hands and the grip. So again, you're able to hold on to the grip, you know, well, but at the same time, it's you know, it basically means that you again, you don't have a lot of contact with the grip at the same time, even though you are holding the grip.
Yeah, you're not squeezing it either.
That's right.
It's really important. A lot of people really squeeze that grip way too strong, so that you put all this tension in your forearms and your shoulders and your back. And I'm speaking from experience. So that's what I do. And I like the feel. And so this I really just like what you've done. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, our next guest has a book out, and it's a really good book about losing but winning at the same time, because every time you experience a defeat, you're actually learning something and going forward. I haven't read Sam Weinman's book yet, but I am surmising all of this information from the reviews that I've gotten. The book comes out this weekend. You started your company with a different name 2 years ago, and it didn't take off, but now it's Forward Golf, and everybody's like, oh, interesting. Why do you think that happened?
Yeah, it was actually almost 3 years ago now, in 2013. So started the prototyping and testing stages in 2013, and then started to work on patents in 2014. And yes, started with the name Tupper Golf, thinking that it was a unique name in the golf industry, but later found out that the Forward Golf name was much more recognizable, and so I guess that's the biggest thing, the change in 2016 and in January to Forward Golf. And as you mentioned, it just seems that with the change in the name, the technology was the same, but it just allowed us to get more out in the golf market, and for people to hear a recognizable name. So many times the word Forward comes up if you are sending emails or talking to people. It's just surprising. I have to stop myself in some emails from saying looking forward, because it's such a common term. And of course, everyone responding back to me, it seems to be the same thing, looking forward to seeing this or talking to you or you know, it's just been a great name change and certainly has helped a lot.
Who gets the credit for the change of the name?
Well, that's a good question. It was a collaboration. I came up. I actually wanted to use the word Forward, Forward. And it was actually my son Matthew ended up recommending just the word Forward, spelled Forward.
It's a family business. And I got to ask another question. Where did you make your prototypes?
The prototypes actually were made in Canada. The first prototype is a hand prototype that I made, so made here in Canada. Initially tried to get the production done in Canada, but unfortunately, based on the technology for the production and also the costing, it just wasn't possible. So we had to move that out of Canada. But the very first prototype was a hand prototype. I still have it, and I made that here again here in Canada.
Did you make it at home?
I did make it at home. Yes, it certainly started out as a home business, and. You mentioned a family connection. My son Matthew was a PGA professional at the time, and graduated from the golf management program, and so he's been really instrumental in providing feedback at the testing and design stages, and he's actually done the website, works on promotion and advertising. Video production and has moved on to do that as a venture of his own, and,
wow.
And does that for various golf clubs and other clients.
That's wonderful. I mean, both things flourished. Your son going into your part of the business, helping you, and then in the process developing connections and creating his own business. That's really awesome. So we've got the putter grip, a deep rounded shape, a V shape. So your hands just kind of, it unites your arms, hands, and putter. It's, I need to get it on my, on a putter. It's, you know how it is when you've got a putter that works and you're afraid to change it?
Absolutely, and we come up against that, but keep in mind, too, that we've just recently introduced mid-size, so if you find, for whatever reason, that the oversize, our signature putter grip is a little bit, feels a little bit too large, then, I'll send a mid-size your way, be happy to do it.
Well, you can order the putter grip, the club grips, and you've also got the mid-size putter grip in the pre-order phase, right?
That's correct. So it's available for order. You can place an order, but we're expecting delivery sometime the end of January, hopefully sooner, but otherwise roughly the end of January. The website is forwardgolfgrips.com, and most of the sales have been online so far.
Forwardgolfgrips.com. You really should check these out. David Blois, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Danielle. Appreciate the opportunity. Aloha.
Aloha and stay warm.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Aloha. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you.
Bye now. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about that book that has to do with winning even though you've lost. The name of the book is Win at Losing, How Our Biggest Setbacks Can Lead to Our Greatest Gains. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily.
They don't put off repairs till the next month.
Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right.
That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM, Honolulu, KGU AM, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. If you'd like to play a round of golf on Maui at Maui Nui, hi Kirk, Captain Kirk, that is, 923 and 1036. Makaha East has a 930 and a 1030. Let's go to Kauai. Poipu has a 920 and a 1040. Makalei on the Big Island has a 920 and a 1050, and Volcano has a 1030 and an 1110. It was 57 chilly degrees this morning up in Volcano, and I probably, chilly, that's all relevant, isn't it? Now, we're going to find out. I was just talking about a gentleman who lost when he first came out with something called Tupper Golf. And then he won when he changed the name to Forward Golf. I thought, you know, it's interesting how that happens in life. And sometimes you just have to persevere through things. Sam Weinman, author of Win at Losing, How Our Biggest Setbacks Can Lead to Our Greatest Gains, Golf Digest digital editor. Welcome to the show, Sam.
Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. Now, tell me, what inspired you to win? What inspired you to write the book, Win at Losing?
Well, I experience, for starters, but for me, it started with a very personal challenge of my two sons. Both are pretty competitive athletes. You know, one's about to turn 9, one's 11, and I just found a recurring theme in that they were losing and losing poorly, in terms of just, you know, showing all kinds of frustration, unable to see any bright side, you know, all the sort of typical, you know, bad losing traits that you see. And for me, thinking about my own experiences, I've always thought that losing can be a good thing, you know, in the right context. And I always look at myself as an athlete or whatnot, and that it ended up being a very positive thing. And so I decided that that was an interesting premise for a book. Now, I originally decided I wanted it to be about me, and then I realized that is really a limited scope. And so I expanded the scope to talk about people in all walks of life. I even wanted to go beyond sports, my background in sports, but I decided I wanted to go beyond even sports and look at all different ways that people sort of endured losing or setbacks and emerged stronger as a result.
So you interviewed people. You went out and talked with them about their losses.
Correct.
How did you base choosing your subject?
You know, it's funny, like, and when I was doing this and I had, you know, my collection of friends I was talking to, and they said, oh, you got to talk to this guy, you got to talk to this guy. And you literally could do it about, you know, 1,000 different people. There's so many great losing stories. And it ended up being just people who intrigued me. You know, there's like, there's better quote unquote, losing stories or more dramatic losing stories. I just kind of wanted to have an interesting representation of people and different, an interesting representation of experiences. And so, you know, the Greg Norman example is a very prominent one for me. He's someone I profile in the book and lost the Masters with a 6-shot lead. You know, I just remember that being this really resonant moment with me when I was in college watching him lose that tournament. And so immediately I knew that that was someone I wanted to talk to. But then I started just looking around and thinking about people who just, you know, represented different aspects of the losing experience and the kind of the bounce back experience as well.
The bounce back. Okay. Some of the subjects that I'm talking with Sam Weinman, author of Win at Losing, How Our Biggest Setbacks Can Lead to Our Greatest Gains. Susan Lucci. I mean, we think of Susan Lucci as being a hugely successful actress, daytime, making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
All right, and now how did she lose?
Well, she was someone who was nominated for 18 straight daytime Emmy Awards and lost every time. And not until the 19th time did she win. And along the way, what was interesting about Susan Lucci, and you're right, she was a vastly successful person. Like, we should all be such losers.
Right,
Susan Lucci. But she was defined in a lot of ways as this loser in her professional life. And outside of her professional life, she was defined as a loser. Like, when I just recall going, you know, reading stories about whatever, and they would refer to someone's sort of inability to win the big one, they would call them the Susan Lucci of the NFL or the Susan Lucci of golf.
Oh.
So it was interesting how she kind of became this caricature along the way. And, you know, to be honest with you, that one thing that she wasn't winning started to weigh on her. It was became a little bit of a self-discovery period where she's like, well, why am I not winning this thing if every year I feel like I have a chance and I'm not coming up? So she had to go through her own sort of moment of inventory where she had to figure out what went wrong and how she could correct it.
Well, what went wrong and how did she correct it?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, she points to, you know, one small thing is, like, as an actress, and I don't know how familiar you are with the acting craft, my knowledge base is pretty limited, but she had this tendency to look down at the floor when she was in the middle of scenes. And so what she realized is that in that small way, she was disrupting her connection with the audience. You know, like, looking up and looking, you know, looking into people's eyes is a way you forge connections with people. And she often was looking down, she noticed, when she was reviewing the reels. And she, so that was something that she was able to correct. And so in a small way, it was, you know, for me, it was evidence of someone who was constantly working at their craft and was persistent in trying to learn from it. And I even, in the face of being successful, she could have been like, well, obviously I'm making millions of dollars, so what do I have to worry about growing or getting any better? And she decided, no, I actually have something that I want to correct, and she did.
Yes, doing a fearless inventory. Watching yourself can be the worst thing. Listening to yourself, you know, I don't know about, do you like reading yourself?
I do, of course. I love reading, yes.
But no, do you like to read what you've written?
Oh,
yes.
You know, it's funny. yes and no, and I go through the same thing myself, which is I'll read stuff like, oh, God, I wish I had done this differently. It's just a natural thing you do where you look at you know, your previous experience, and you, if you're being honest with yourself, you are looking for ways that you could have been better. And I have yet to have written anything where I didn't look back at it and say, yeah, I kind of missed the mark on this one. And hopefully, as you get to a certain level in your life, that your bad is no longer so bad. But there's always a few things that you want back, and it's an important yes.
Yes, there's always room for improvement. You know, there's always room to, otherwise, why, you know, I could be turned into a mushroom and just be a mushroom. Chapters include, and I was reading, of course, because I have not read your book yet. When does it come out?
It comes out Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So that's the big launch day, yes.
That's why I have not read your book yet.
Yes, you're forgiven.
Thank you. But I've read from some of the reviews that I came across that it is in a light, humorous tone, which I think is refreshing, since it's a very, I mean, win at losing, how our biggest setbacks can lead to our greatest gains.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy to hear that. I mean, I think I have a certain approach, which is I wanted to have it be reflective of my experience. And a lot of times it is sort of comical talking about, you know, whatever follies I've had in athletic endeavors or my kids. And so I was looking at through a pretty, you know, lighthearted prism, but also talking about real pain in people's lives and things like that, which I would hopefully wasn't being flippant about. But, you know, it's funny. I never thought of myself as a self-help type writer. I wanted to write a story about a bunch of people. And but the more I was sort of drawn to this topic, the more I realized that not only was it interesting, but it was also hopefully something that can be instructive to other people. And
well,
so
it's
sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, love it, because the kids need to learn that, you know, you don't always get the trophy. And in that process of not always getting the trophy, sometimes we give them the trophy too often. You know, everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to learn to, okay, I didn't win, but I can get better, you know? And just whatever your endeavor. It doesn't have to be sports. It can be math. It can be spelling. It can be anything that you're doing. So that the better, the more they learn that loss is not their identity, then they can move forward. Now, some of the chapters that I find, good things come out of chaos. Of course, I'm completely curious about that. But a master's in humility?
Yes.
What?
Well, that's about Greg Norman. And a lot of what was sort of defined his story was that for a long time, Greg Norman was this sort of alpha male, you know, the ultimate competitor, and in a lot of ways still is. And, you know, this is a guy who shot 2400 at the Players Championship, who, you know, won the Open Championship. You know, he shot 63 on the final round. So this is a guy who played at one point better golf than anyone. And so from that comes this feeling that you can do anything. And I'm a big sort of thread of the book is the importance of humility, about kind of recognizing that you always have limitations. And in his case, the Masters was sort of the ultimate indication of his limitations, because he was exposed in, you know, this huge setting, shooting 76 on the final round, and he became very humble in the process. And that was what really endeared him to a lot of people. You know, if you look at the coverage of when he lost that Masters and the sort of portrayals of his tournament, it was this master choke job by Greg Norman, but it was also, wow, what a classy way Greg Norman handled this. What a human moment. Wow, I really feel for Greg Norman. Which in a lot of ways was a victory, because it was something that opened him up to people in ways that he wasn't able to do before.
Yeah, so instead of him decimating the field, the course decimated him. But or he decimated himself.
Yeah.
What did he say to you when you talked to him?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. One is that I think he realized that there was great benefit in that experience in the sense that he, you know, he owned up to his mistakes. He owned up to the failures of that day. In a lot of ways, he wasn't prepared. It was really interesting because, you know, this is a guy, again, had a six-shot lead, and he knew going into that Sunday that something was off. So that whole sort of sub-thread was interesting, like that he went to the course that day, and everyone was like, oh, Greg, you're going to cruise. This is your day. And he knew right from the start that he was just off and he didn't feel right. And, you know, that's a pretty amazing revelation in itself that a guy with a six-shot lead knew that it was going to go badly even before he put this first shot in the air.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought that part of it and also the part about how he recognized that this was a major void in his life that he'll never get. He's not going to win the Masters now at age 61. And it still hurts him. Like, it's still something that gnaws at him, but he also recognizes that there was a lot of good that came out of him owning up to that.
So that was his win, winning humility, becoming humble, and understanding his own limitations?
Yeah, and also some resilience that came out of it. You know, when you go through something like that, you're made stronger, if not as a golfer. You know, he has his whole second act as a businessman, and he's a pretty headstrong, or I shouldn't say headstrong, he's a pretty nimble, you know, executive. And I think a lot of that comes from learning something a little bit about failure, because failure is kind of a part of business as well.
Did you ever think about talking with Jean Vandervelde, perchance?
I did. Yeah, I did. You know, it's funny. I kind of, you know, as you mentioned, I have a golf background, so I could have done the whole book on golf.
Yes.
And I sort of went out of my way to not make it an entire golf book. But Vandervelde, you know, of course, is a classic one, especially because far more so than Greg Norman, here's a guy who didn't have, like, that other championship to point to. Like, Greg Norman was a successful guy in the same way Susan Lucci was on 100 different ways. John Vandervelde, you know, had a nice career, but, it, you know, his one great moment or his one great opportunity slipped from his fingers in pretty devastating circumstances.
Yeah, and what I find fascinating about him is how he didn't succumb to that. He still is a happy person. He still plays golf. On his level, you know, he's successful, and as you said, but this one moment it was taken from him the big trophy that he could have had. Now another thing that one of the reviewers said about you being sports centric, there are references and I don't understand these. You have to help. Mindsets.
Yeah.
Resume virtues. I'm not eulogy.
Resume virtues. Both of those are not my sort of phrases. So mindset is a big thing, Danielle, which is like the growth mindset versus fixed mindset. There's a professor named Carol Dweck who came up with this whole way of defining people. People can either be a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. A growth mindset is someone who realizes that their skills and their talents can always be improved upon through effort. And having a growth mindset is a great way to be, because when you have failures or losses, you are aware of your ability to improve upon that and learn from it. Whereas a fixed mindset is someone who looks at failures as a definition of them, and like it just shows that they're less talented or less worthy than other people. So that's something that I talk about a lot in the book. And again, that's more the work of a professor who's very influential in my own work. And the other thing was the resume virtues versus eulogy virtues. There's a book by the name of David Brooks, who's a columnist in the New York Times, who wrote about the road to character and how people's character is really defined less so by these sort of outward achievements. So, like, outward achievements would be some things you would have on your resume. They would be that you won this many tournaments, you won this much money, you had this type of job. Whereas the things that really matter are your eulogy virtues, which are the things people talk about you, like the way that, you know, the character you had, the type of person you are, the type of father you are. And so one of the themes of my book is that the people who lost in these devastating ways lost out on some resume virtues, lost out on some accolades that they could have had, but they gained a lot on the kind of eulogy virtue side, in the sense that they grew as people and were lessons to, they were, you know, examples for their kids and for other people.
Bellissimo. Sam Wyman, this is awesome. Author, Win at Losing, How Our Biggest Setbacks Can Lead to Our Greatest Gains. Love the topic. Gotta read Good Things Come Out of Chaos. Who's that about?
That's about a soccer player by the name of Sarah Hest, who was on the U.S. women's soccer team. Was in the World Cup, the team that won the World Cup in 1999. She played in the Olympics, and then she basically blew out her knee as a professional and went through this pretty devastating period where her career ended, and she went through all kinds of feelings of kind of emotional distance from everyone. And the irony of it all is that she went on to become a very successful psychologist, in large part because of the pain that she endured at the end of her career. It was something that she learned a lot about that world.
This is great. Thank you so much for writing this book.
Thank you. I hope people like it.
Yes, yes. Okay. I will definitely, this will be in podcast, and you'll be a show spotlight. Sam Weinman, author of Win at Losing, How Our Biggest Setbacks Can Lead to Our Greatest Gains. You think I can go to Amazon and order it?
You can order it right now. It's on Amazon. It's going to be out on Tuesday, but it's out there right now.
See, it's out there right now. Just go to Amazon and make a great gift for a young person. What, 13, 14, 15? What do you think? Is your 9-year-old ready for this book?
My 9-year-old has read parts of it. My 11 and can definitely, you know, definitely like some of the stories. I think the 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds are definitely ready for it, just in the sense that you're getting into some sort of psychological elements, which I think they're ready to embrace as well. So I think so.
Awesome. Happy holidays. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. I want to thank the people who make this show possible, because without them, we wouldn't be talking with Sam Weinman, the author of Win at Losing, How Our Biggest Setbacks Can Lead to Our Greatest Gains. We wouldn't have got to meet Jeff Babineau, the senior writer of Golf Week, and talk about what he thought were the greatest events of this 2016 season. And the thing that's happening in Chicago, Mark Rolfing, awesome, with Tiger Woods and Barack Obama and Tiger's ear saying, yeah, go for it. And the mayor of Chicago thinking that's a great idea. Everybody coming together to create the Chicago Golf Alliance and making two golf courses into a gigantic, fabulous enterprise. It's just spectacular. So thank you to Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for businesses and your home. It's Rainer Doors. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. And next weekend, I have a Christmas gift for you. And then the following weekend, I have a New Year's gift for you. And that would be two rounds at Poipu Bay. So be sure to tune in. Hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for 10 years, and it's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, and I'm talking about turning in, you know, your warehouse door can floor can become like a marble, just look like marble. And maybe that's exactly where you want your showroom to be. So think about your space and how you'd like to make it really classy, and then get in touch with Futura Stone. Creative Plumbing. Oh, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a big building, a shopping center, and I mean a big shopping center, or a little tiny place. It doesn't matter. Creative Plumbing. You want to keep your water in your pipes. And when it's not staying in those pipes, you need to call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. And that is the number you call. I don't have the number to call, but you call. Look them up. It's easy. Creative Plumbing. The Tournament of Champions on the Plantation Course at Kapalua. It's the winner's only event. Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Tony Finau, they're all going to be there January 4th through the 8th at Kapalua, where the champions come to play. PGAtour.com/tournaments. Go there, get some tickets. They make great stocking stuffers. Sony Open in Hawaii, first full field event of the PGA Tour of the new year. It's at Waialae Country Club. It's January 9th through the 15th. Again, on Oahu, you know, great stocking stuffers, tickets, and you support the charities, both on Maui when you do it for the Kapalua Tournament of Champions and here on Oahu when you buy tickets for the Sony Open in Hawaii. So for Sony Open in Hawaii, go to SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Very simple. And thank you, Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 Coach, Aimpoint Certified. I had so much fun on the course with you. Those three holes taught me so much. Take a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Take a playing lesson, even better yet. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.